Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and our Savior Jesus Christ. I guess sometimes we'd rather run away from that gospel. Boy, that's some words, isn't it? Jesus saying to us, think not that I've come to bring peace. I haven't come to bring peace, but I've come to bring a sword or division. And right to the very heart and soul of human relationships. Never mind politics. There's always division in politics. Never mind the church. Boy, is there ever division and conflict in the church. But also in our families and in all of our closest relationships. That's what he says. That's what's part of what it is to be a child of God. So be ready for it. So I want to talk about that for a little bit with you this morning. Not to run away from conflict, but to face it and to live through it. To work your way through it with Jesus with you. To walk through it. Because it's through it we are, shall I say, constructed better as children of God. Our faith is pure through the conflict. It really happens that way. I don't know if you've ever heard of the story, it's a children's story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's written by C.S. Lewis. Really good story for children, good story for adults. Great metaphors. But basically, the story is about four British children who find their way through a clothes closet. And when they go into the clothes closet, they discover this magnificent and yet mysterious world. And they wonder about this place called Narnia. The four little girls, or the four children, go through it, two boys and two girls. And along the way, they find that animals even talk. Imagine that. Animals talk. But that's, of course, that's C.S. Lewis. Animals are talking. There is a king in Narnia. You might call him the first Lion King. Even before there was a Lion King movie, there was this book by C.S. Lewis. There was a king and he was a lion. His name is Aslan. You didn't know, that's his name. Aslan is a lion, and lions are ferocious. They're tough. They're big. You ever see one up close? Keep a wall between me. Well, Lucy, who's the youngest of the three, she's talking to Mr. Beaver. Okay, remember, animals talk, okay? And she sees Aslan, this lion, and she's like really overwhelmed by his power and presence. And she asks Mr. Beaver, is he safe? Oh, said Mr. Beaver, he is not safe. No, he is not safe. But he's good. He's not safe, but he's good. Jesus is not safe, but is he good? Your walk with him, my walk with him, my experience says the same thing. It is so true because he is peace. That's what the Old Testament called him, Prince of Peace, right? Every Christmas we sing that song. He is, you know, the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's what he is. The angels at his birth, remember, over the Judean countryside at the shepherds, they said, you know, he's come to bring peace on earth, and that's what he is. And Jesus is about peace, Paul says in the book of Romans. Therefore, through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any better than this. I keep trying to tell people in my life when they're around me, it doesn't get any better than Jesus. You can't buy anything better. You can't Pokemon anything better. You can't enjoy or experience anything better in life. And there's a lot of good things in life. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a prude. There's a lot of fun things in life, but it doesn't get any better than Jesus. It really doesn't. He gives it all that we need. Peace with God, peace with ourselves. He calms our conscience. He forgives our sins. He gives us everlasting life. And he's with us for all of our troubles and trials, everything. But he's not safe. He is not safe. In fact, he is so unsafe that if you know history at all, even recent history, there have been governments that have tried to ban him. There have been movements that tried to burn his books, the Bible. There have been places where people who bear the name of Jesus have been persecuted and killed because Jesus is not safe. And when Jesus is working through the church, through you and me, you're going to set things on fire, and maybe even yourself are going to experience from time to time. You're going to feel the burn. Jesus is good, but he's not safe. That's why he says, "Think not that I've come to bring peace. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword." And it just strikes in all of our relationships. I'm sorry. Wherever there are two people, there's going to be conflict from time to time. Even in the best marriages that I know, even in my wonderful marriage with my dear wife, married 38 years this past week, celebrated. Yet, I think Bev would tell you, I'm a difficult guy to work with once in a while. Yeah, there's conflict. You bet there is from time to time. And I have sat down with many a couples where both of them are amazing people. They're like really fighting big time. I talk to him, I talk to her, and it's like, I think to myself, why can't this work? Yeah, conflict happens in life, and it happens for us, and it happens because of the name of Jesus that we bear, and it happens because Jesus is alive and working in us. He's working in our priorities. He's changing our values. He's adjusting our principles. He's doing everything inside of us, and he's doing it through our life, through the people we talk to, through forgiveness, through repentance. He's doing it all the time. You're changing, and so am I. And that's where the rub comes. And where there's rub, there is heat. Jesus is good, but he's not safe. Thanks be to God for that, because he's leading us to some really great stuff. He really is. Bev and I, we just came back, well, about 3 weeks now, came back from vacation. We went out to Glacier National Park in Montana. And it was kind of a revisit for us. We were there about 12, 15 years ago. But what struck us this time was as you're driving north along the road to get to St. Mary entrance on the east side and going to the Sun Road up to Logan's Pass and down to McDonald Lake. Well, we stayed at St. Mary's side. As what struck me is you had the Rocky Mountains on your left, you know, and then you got the plain of Montana, straight and narrow and flat as you can get. Hardly any trees, but you had this kind of contrast. But we noticed this time that many of the pine trees that just flourished were gone. All that were left for acres upon acres and miles upon miles, mountain upon mountain, were just charred stumps of trees that used to be there at one time. What took them was a fire. I think there was a fire about 2 years ago that hit St. Mary. There was another one several years before that was on the other side of the park. But you can see just the devastation. Fire burns. Fire destroys. Fire does that. And that's what you have. What struck me, though, as I was looking also out over this vast, now charred ruin, I mean, it was still very nice, but this charred ruin, you really can see beautiful blue wildflowers that are springing up all over. Life was returning, you see. And then there was a tour guide. She explained to us something I never knew about pine cones. And believe me, this all kind of fits into life for us because there are so many illustrations in nature. It's phenomenal. But she explained about the pine cones. What we're used to are those open, prickly-looking pine cones. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that you don't want to step on with bare feet? We're used to those things. But there are those, but there are pine cones that are closed tight, sealed tight. And she said, you know, those things can drop 5, 50, 100 years ago, bury themselves in the soil, which happens over time, and they don't open up. They stay closed because what is required for them to open up is what? What would you guess? Heat. Heat opens them up and springs them to life. And now you have, because of the heat, the destruction, get this, you have the seeds of new life. in destruction, where there is conflict, where there is disagreement, there is the seeds of the future. In death, there is resurrection. In Jesus Christ, Good Friday, there's Easter, where things are sealed up and you think it's lost and there's no future. God says, okay, well, you can't do humanly, just watch what I'm going to do. And God does it in nature. All of this kind of going on in life. It happens inside your body. See, to me, there's so many metaphors about this in life. Jesus wasn't messing around when he said you got to die to yourself in order to rise. Inside of you, this very minute, as I'm talking to you, there is a battle going on. You know that? There's a war going inside of your body. And thanks be to God for it. There is destruction going on, but there's also newness going on. You have this thing called an anti-immune system. You know what I'm talking about? You have inside of you, by God's grace, by your humanness, you have this ability to fight off all kinds of infection. And right now, you are being pummeled with germs. Boom, boom, boom. Because you sat in your seat, and somebody was there germy before you, and you're leaving germs too. And now your body's being bombarded by that. Now your body's inside fighting it. Right this very minute, you don't feel it, you don't know it. Except when you have a fever, then you know it's really kicking in. You see, with the heat, with the destruction, there's also new life. Jesus is good, but he's not safe. Thanks be to God for that. Jesus, inside of you, is making some wonderful things take place by the Spirit's presence. He's making a new you come about. A new you that was different than 5 years ago, than 10 years ago. I would reckon to say your faith has more depth, has more profound understanding than it did when you were a child. I hope so. I hope you've grown by faith. I hope you've grown beyond that Sunday school faith, which is so needed, that nurturing when you're young. I hope you've grown. Sure you have. By the Holy Spirit at work in you, because you're changing. And as you do that, there is a warfare going inside you, because you've got to die to things that you understood and believed in and cling to, things that we think are about life and hope, as we shift our priorities, our allegiance over to God and understand Him more fully. It happens that way. It happens in churches too, all the time. Now this gets to be fun. It happens in churches. As district president, now you know about 80% of my time where it's spent, because I'm usually going into churches where there's conflict. And one thing I often keep in mind, you've got to keep a cool head. That's number one. You can't blast away. You can't bring up old dirt, although that happens. This kind of thing happens. But you just have to stay with it. You don't run away. Stay with it. When I was at St. Luke, before I was district president, I was pastor at St. Luke in Chictawaga. We went through a renovation program at their church. And boy, if you ever want to find a time in the life of a church when things heat up, it's when you want to renovate or build on or try a new ministry or do a new approach. Things heat up. Good. Good that they're heating up. Good, because it means something's happening. It means that there's life. When things aren't heating up, you're dead. You're dead. So thanks to God that things are heating up. They did. There was one thing. If you've ever been to St. Luke in Chictawaga, there is this very interesting crucifix above the altar. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's unique. I don't think there's another like it in all of Christendom. St. Luke in the 50s, when things were like big time, people all over the place, money all over the place, they decided to commission an artist out of South Buffalo who was a steel worker, but his specialty was taking clay and making tubular art. And the church said, we want something different. We want Jesus, a corpus on a cross. We want you to do that. So de Glucy did. De Glucy, since he died, he made his name, went to Europe. He's done a number of things for the Vatican. Also went to Poland with Lech Walesa, did a bust of Lech Walesa, which I understand is in Warsaw. He did, that's his name. St. Luke has one of his original pieces. It's there still above the altar. Well, there was this big debate, because in the congregation, has this ever happened here? In the congregation were those who said, I like it. And there was in the congregation that said, I don't like it. That's never happened here, has it? Happens all the time. Whenever you get two people together, okay, there's going to be disagreement. You got to figure out how to live together. This is how it works, by the grace of God. Love in all things, said Jesus. Love it all. So, what did we do? We brought in the special person to come in. She was a member of St. John in Depew, since has moved on. She was a professional negotiator, and she did a lot of negotiation with school districts in our area when there was some real heat. She came into St. Luke, we brought her in. And she, one of the things that she did, she said, I want you all to come out with a piece of paper, put your name on it, and then give me a paragraph why you like it or why you don't. Okay, we collected all these. She says, when you collect all these things, put them in a book, make sure everybody gets a copy of them all. So, on launch day, we had 119 people who said, I really like that cross. Never mind why. They have all kinds of reasons why. Okay? All kinds of reasons. And there were 119 people who said they didn't like it. What do you do? What do you do in this conflict? What if it was 120 to 119? Ah, a majority? That would have been foolish, in my estimation. Foolish to move one way or the other. The leadership was wise. The leadership was wise. They said, you know, we need to table this for another 20 years. I think it was a smart move because we had to proceed. And we continued. And we live on. They live on. That's how it goes. Many years ago, I read a book by Krebs, K-R-E-B-S. It's still out there. It's called Creative Conflict. Oh, the title of the sermon, Creative Godly Conflict. That's where I got the idea. He says, no matter what relationship you're in, there's going to be conflict from time to time, and even in the church. But you know, here's the thing. When the conflict is at its heated moment, the other person is really livid and expressing himself, now listen. Because now he's telling you what's truly on his heart. No more the fluff, no more of this stuff telling you what's on his heart. Now you're getting to the heart of the issue. Creative conflict, if it's worked well, worked properly, and in the church, of course, there is the gospel, there is love. There are so many injunctions in Scripture that call us as Christian people to work as brothers and sisters in Christ at all costs. Sometimes you will not get your way. So what? What's more important is the unity that we share in Jesus Christ. What's more important is the family, keeping it in unity, but leaving Jesus Christ foremost in all of life. Sometimes it will go this way, this direction. He said, the most important thing is to keep your eyes on what it's all about. Listen, because in it all, something creative, something new is taking place by the grace of God. The pine cone is opening up to life. And in the destruction, in the fire, in the heat comes the seeds of the future. Don't run away from it. But don't be ugly in it either. You know, I remember a historian who once wrote about civilizations, and I'm going to close off with this. He said basically this: struggles make civilizations strong. It's in our heat, it's in our conflicts, it's in those moments where you see the flowering of civilization. Things really flower because now you're discovering what your heart and passion is. It's right there. And is America in a struggle right now? I don't think it's such a bad thing. Are we in a conflict right now with the church? Yes, we are. If you don't believe me, ask me after church. I can give you some stories. Yeah. That's what life is. You know, that's what we're all about. But that's where the flowering of civilization comes from. Now, strike the word civilization, put the church. Struggles make for a strong church. Differences make for the flowering of a congregation. It means you're healthy and alive, as long as it doesn't get out of control. Right? A wildfire is a wildfire out of control. It destroys. Now put yourself in there. Your name. Is it Sally or Bob? Is it Joe? Struggles make Joe a stronger Christian. It is It's those differences, those divisions in life that make for the flowering of your faith. Think about that. Right now, today, this week, are you in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a fire in your life? Boy, yeah. Yeah. I came out of St. Louis on Friday night, meeting with the Synod President and other district presidents. Wow. Yeah. But I'd like to think in a prayerful way, in a spiritual way, that God is doing something with all of this. And what He's doing, I think, is building us up in Christ to be His brothers and sisters as He wants us to be. Jesus. Jesus is not safe, but Jesus is good. Very good. Now, to God, who is able to do incredibly more than all we can ask or conceive by the Holy Spirit at work among us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forevermore. Amen. Let's stand and confess our faith.